How would you define a good sermon? Answers on a postcard, please. I wonder what you would say. Brief? Maybe. Well, I might be, you never know. Or does it depend on the preacher being in good form? He's switched on, or she's switched on this morning, and really grabbed by the subject, and putting it over in a way which is really interesting. Well, you might think that. No, a good sermon depends upon the listeners being in top form. I'm being slightly provocative here, but there is truth in what I'm saying. So I'm really saying, if this is not a good sermon, it's your fault. I'm being really provocative now. But there is a certain truth in that. Obviously, I have to, this morning anyway, I have to do my part and do it well. Of course I do. But it's a corporate activity. It's not just me. I could preach to the wall and it wouldn't make much difference. Why did Jesus tell parables? People often misunderstand this. They think he told these parables as nice little stories that would make everything clear. That's not true. That isn't why he told parables at all. Listen to this part of Matthew 13, which we didn't read in the Gospel this morning. In fact, verses 10 to 13. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand." And so Jesus is saying he spoke in parables so people would think, what's he driving at? What does he mean? I need really to think about that. I'm not clear what he means. So actually it's the opposite from what people think. He didn't tell the parables to make everything clear. He made them, again, I'll use the word provocative, he made them to provoke people into thinking, to get them really thinking about what he was saying. And of course, only those who are really interested would bother, wouldn't they? Oh, I can't understand what he's on about, so I'll switch off and think about lunch. That could be the attitude. And he talks about four different sorts of people. We're very familiar with this parable of the sower. First of all, the hard people. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some people just don't receive the word. I remember in our previous parish, it never happened to me, but I remember going into the vestry, and there, above some of the coat pegs in the vestry, was a little white board about 2 feet long and 6 inches wide. And on the white board was, in capital letters, in black paint, was "Enough!" exclamation mark. And apparently, before my time, there was a guy who I think may have been a church warden, I'm not absolutely sure, who actually, when he'd had enough of the sermon, would hold this board up. "Enough!" If he'd have done it with me, I think I might have practiced church discipline. I think I'd have actually dealt with him, because that's naughty. Not supposed to do that. But that was the attitude. Well, what a brilliant example of a hard person. Someone who didn't want to hear much and probably didn't take much notice of what he had heard. Who knows? Isn't this sad? It really is sad. Nothing saddens me more than the fact that certain people just don't seem to be open to God at all. Please, I am not condemning them. I'm not being negative towards them at all. I can think actually even of folks fairly close to me who just don't seem to be receiving the word of the Lord. They don't really seem to be open at all. And I think, what planet are they living on? Do they not realize there is a God? Do they not realize that we'll all stand before God one day? And just to ignore him is very serious. And I almost want to go up gently and lovingly, shake them by the lapels and say, wake up and listen to what God is saying to you. Obviously that wouldn't help. It's not a very good clerical approach. But that's what I sort of feel. If I could only wake them up. But I think Jesus actually says something very relevant here, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So the devil is real. Jesus clearly believed he was real. He believed in demons. He cast out demons. I think a lot of modern people would like to think that's all a lot of old-fashioned tommy rot. But it isn't, sadly. But what Jesus is saying here is that people are deceived. The devil comes along. That doesn't mean they're evil people. These people out there who are not listening to God. I'm not saying they're evil people. But what I am saying is someone evil is deceiving them. It's pulling the wool over their eyes. And how we need to pray for a mighty move of the Spirit, because I think much of this nation is in that category. Not listening to God, not thinking about what God might be saying, not recognizing responsibility to God. Our heart should go out to such people, not in condemnation, but in love and prayer. So there are the hard people. That's the seed falling on the path, and it just dies. And then there are the shallow people. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. They're the people who stand at the church door and say, "Nice sermon, vicar, oh, I do agree with you." So you're not going to say anything positive about this sermon this morning, are you, after I've said that? But that's the sort of attitude. Nice sermon, vicar. You know, we enjoyed that. It was even entertaining, vicar. And so it's a welcome in it, you know. But the only trouble is, it's not going deep. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Good sermon. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They are fair weather believers. They believe as long as all goes well. It saddens me. I can think of actual people as I'm speaking who've had perhaps a really, really big difficulty in their life or a really big sadness. And they were, as far as I know, they were, you know, committed Christians before that. And they seem to have given the whole thing up. Unbelievably sad. How sad that is. It's as sad as the first lot, the hard people who are just not listening. In fact, even more so, because they know the truth and yet they've turned against it. And I can think of people like that. Think of actual people at the moment. And my heart goes out to them, even as I preach. If only their eyes could be opened and they'd return. But some people are in Christianity for what they can get out of it. So long as it's joy, peace and satisfaction, fine. But when something goes wrong, we blame God. And so prayers are not answered, it appears. There are disappointments and hurts. There's persecution, opposition and mocking. We aren't yet persecuted in this country, although it's on its way. But we are mocked, aren't we? You say something Christian, and the possibility is someone's going to regard you as a nutcase. And someone who lives on a different planet. Or as a dinosaur, totally out of date. That's going to happen more and more, I'm afraid, so get used to it. But these shallow people welcome the word, great, until something goes wrong. And then there are, thirdly, the preoccupied people. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So they concentrate on what God has said until they find something more important to concentrate on. And this can happen. And I see it time and again over the years. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So they concentrate on God until something else comes and takes over. It may be an anxiety about life, responsibilities, money worries, relationship challenges, busyness, maybe family concerns. Nothing wrong with the family. Obviously, we're responsible for our families and to our families. But the possibility is that family concerns can take over and become more important than serving the Lord. And this happens with some people. Making money. I've never made much, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I know a lot of people do like and enjoy making money. And that can be, you know, serving mammon rather than serving God. That can happen. And even hobbies and entertainment, which may be perfectly okay in themselves, can sort of take over. And so you find this sort of thing happening. Preoccupied people, they're the ones where the seed falls among thorns and it grows up and chokes the plants. And so spoils what God wants to do. And finally, fourthly, there are the deep people. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. So these are the people, and may we all be these people, who hear, understand, and act on the word as a priority. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So there's even a variation in this group of people, the deep people. Some produce 100-fold, they're really with it, some 60, some 30. What makes the difference? Well, there are various things, aren't there? Commitment to Christ, really loving the Lord. If we really love the Lord, if we really want the best for God, if we realize that the Holy Spirit is grieved, God isn't above the bright blue sky, unaffected by things that go on down here. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we fail. And if those things are motivating us, then we will tend to be, hopefully, the 100 times people, 100-fold people. Because we're very strongly motivated by our love for the Lord. And our concern is the wrong word, but I can't think of a better one at the moment. Our concern that he is grieved when we fail him. That means a great deal to me. I think about that, I think daily. The Lord being grieved by how I fail. Yes, others as well, but it starts with me and how I fail him. I said or did something I shouldn't have done. I failed him. I grieved the Holy Spirit. I didn't just upset person B who I was talking to, but I grieved the Lord. And so the 100-fold people are the people who really are committed to the Lord, who love him and want the best for him, so to speak, as well as for his work. And then they're the people who pray. I won't challenge you again. I think I've done it recently, but you know, I hope you do spend time praying. And the more you spend time praying, the more you will find fruitfulness spiritually in your lives, the deeper you will go towards the 100-fold people. And Bible reading, how the Lord speaks through the Bible, is quite amazing. But also the practical application of the teaching. When God says something to me, I write it down. I'm really grateful for iPhones, because what I can do is I can write myself an email, and I frequently do, a number of times a day, I'll write down an important thought, and that includes thoughts that I think God has put in my mind about spiritual things, and I send that email to myself so that I will remember it. And I also sometimes I have a little folder, a little A4 folder, which is my daily prayer calendar, as it were. I've written it myself, no one else has. It's very detailed, takes quite some time to go through. And I revise it, I scribble on it, the thing that God said to me today, so I don't forget it. And then when I've got a lot of scribble, I then will revise it on the computer and reprint it, which I did yesterday. So I'm up to date at the moment with all this. But it's not just praying and reading the Bible, important though that is, it's remembering what God has said and putting it into practice. And I've got a memory like a sieve, and I can forget important things the Lord has said to me. I don't want to do that, so every morning I'm reminded, oh yes, the Lord said that. I must remember to put that into practice again today. And then fellowship is so important. By the way, I believe the Lord wants to say something really powerful to us here and in St. Michael's about fellowship, how important it is, unity. Christianity is not an individualistic thing, even though the individual faith is very, very important. It's essentially a corporate thing. And God wants to build fellowship. But we can actually be encouraged spiritually by being in fellowship. Patricia and I are a fellowship. We've been in fellowship now for 54 years. It's wonderful to be, apart from the times when she ticks me off because I'm wrong, but, well, that's probably useful as well. but we're in, that's part of fellowship, by the way. But it's fellowship. It can be just between two people. It may be your partner, it may be a friend, or someone else, or it may be a group, or within the congregation. And so if we want to be these deep people who are going more and more towards the hundredfold increase, then we need that commitment of love to the Lord like never before. We need to pray increasingly. We need to read the Bible and take notice of it. We need to remember what the Lord said to us through the Bible, or perhaps just through our thinking, and put it into practice. And we need the encouragement of other people to do that. Then we will be deep people. And hopefully will be those who produce 100 times what has been sown in our hearts. How wonderful that would be. How glorifying to the Lord. So there are the hard people, pray for them. There are the shallow people, pray for them. There are the preoccupied people, and we can all do that, pray for them. And there are the deep people. Pray that we will all be deep people and moving towards being 100-fold in our response. Father, we do thank you for Jesus' teaching through the parables. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which he illustrates so many important points, but also for the way in which the parables stimulate our thinking. What did he actually mean? What is he driving at? And Lord, that makes us think more deeply. Help us to be, Lord, those deep people. But we pray for the hard people, the shallow people, and the preoccupied people, so to speak. Lord, we don't condemn. We simply pray that you will open their hearts and their minds to you and draw them towards being deep people who reproduce what you have sown in their hearts, even 100-fold. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.